We saw Kyle Lowry emerge earlier in this series, really took a game over all by himself, was huge, especially in game three. And we've seen DeRozan have two really key performances in this year's playoffs, but unfortunately, we've seen him go to the opposite end of the spectrum and really struggle. There was some talk, he's icing his hand. Do you have any insight onto maybe what the injury he has is?
Yeah, well, the issue is with the thumb. Jason, he bent that thumb back in a direction that thumbs probably aren't supposed to bend in late in the first quarter, or sorry, in the first game, battling for a loose ball with Dwayne Wade. And it's clearly been bothering him since. He's been icing it. He's been wearing a brace while shooting around before games. And he's talked about how much trouble he's had just gripping the ball or even tying his shoes. But, I mean... Some will rightly point to the fact that he was struggling with his jump shot long before the injury. The percentage is about the same. He's shooting 33% from the field since the injury. He was shooting 33% before. Now, in terms of the impact that it's had in this floor game, you can point to the free throw shooting. Certainly, he's 10 for 20 from the stripe since the injury. He was shooting 90% before it. He's missed layups. He's shot some air balls on jumpers that he normally makes. So I'm not sure at this point how much is physical or how much is mental. And it's sort of deja vu. It's the same question we were asking about Kyle Lowry and his elbow with his shooting slump in the first series. But one way or the other, they've got to figure it out. What I keep going back to is great players find a way to help their team win. Excuses are for those that need them. You look at Steph Curry, the unanimous MVP choice. He scored 17 points in an overtime period where he was playing on one leg the other night. Dwayne Wade is older than all but one Raptor in this series, yet he hasn't used that as an excuse. Paul George, he was dominant in the first series despite a heavy workload coming off of a season in which he sat out after a gruesome injury. None of these guys needed excuses. They were better than that. So whether or not the excuses for Lowry and DeRozan are valid, is sort of irrelevant at this point. They've got to find a way to power through.
Yeah, Josh, I read your piece on Lowry and DeRozan today, and like you say, we don't know how much of it is physical pain and how much of it is mental. Athletes get bothered by these things. The bottom line, though, without DeRozan and Lowry finding a way to get through it physically and or mentally, it puts the Raptors in a bad spot. Bottom line is they have to find a way.
No doubt. Lost in, I guess, all this gloom and doom. It's funny, the narrative so far throughout the postseason has been struggling Lowry and DeRozan. It's been the ugly basketball here. It's been the injuries, not just to Lowry and DeRozan, but, of course, to Jonas Valanciunas. Lost in all of that is the fact that the Raptors are in still pretty good shape, tied 2-2 here in the second round, two wins away from uncharted territory for them. They've never been past the second round. They can still win this series, and they probably should still win this series, but they need Lowry and DeRozan to do it. Now, the concern, obviously, is more than just the injury here and then the shooting slump, because their playoff resumes are getting bigger now. The sample size is getting bigger, and certainly the body of work doesn't inspire much confidence. Those two have now played 22 playoff games together with the Raptors over the last 3 years. They shot 39% combined in the Brooklyn series 2 years ago, 36% combined against Washington in the sweep last year, and now they're at 33%. So one way or the other, whether they've been healthy, whether they've been injured, whether the defenders have been great or not so great, regardless of the matchup, regardless of the situation, they haven't been good. So it's coming to the point now where it's fair for people to wonder whether or not they're good enough, whether they're great enough to take their game to the next level, to hold up under the pressure and the bright lights of the playoffs.
Josh Loewenberg from TSN 1050 joins us. Josh, well, those two have struggled, man. We've seen Damari Carroll really step up his game at key times in this postseason. Corey Joseph has been pretty much as advertised and why they signed him, although, ideally they probably would have loved him to, have a better look in that final 12 seconds in game four, of course, where, they didn't come close really to making that basket. Damari Carroll, do you see him as – being the straw that can really stir this team over the next two, possibly three games? Does he have it in him? Do you see a matchup that is favorable for him?
I think Demari Carroll is going to be huge for the duration of this series and however far they go in the playoffs. Right now, they've got to be leaning on him and his expertise coming from the Atlanta Hawks, one of the more free-flowing offenses in the NBA, and maybe take a word or two of advice from him, because right now the offense is stagnant. I thought that was a big part of the reason why the last few games have been so ugly. I mean, granted, it's been ugly on both sides, but the Raptors are having a lot of trouble scoring the ball. Lowry and DeRozan, their shooting slumps have a lot to do with it, but they're not getting good looks. The Heat, despite losing their rim protector and Hassan Whiteside, they're loading up in the paint and daring the Raptors to shoot. So they've got to do it as Carroll has done in the past, swing the ball around, make open shots, and I think Damari's going to be a big part of that. How crazy is this, though? I mean, here's a guy that missed 3 months to the point in which we were wondering if he'd even be back for the playoffs. He started the postseason on a minute restriction, and now here he is. He's probably the healthiest of the Raptors starters, and I think he's going to be a big part of what they do going forward.
Josh, if the Heat stay in the paint defensively for the balance of the series, can the Raptors win this series without Lowry and DeRozan doing something from outside? At some point, you need those guys in that mix if they're going to cheat inside.
Without question. It opens up so many more options if those two are hitting their shots. All of a sudden, there's room to operate in the paint. All of a sudden, those other guys that you mentioned, Joseph, Damari Carroll, Terrence Ross, who's actually stepped up here in this series, all of a sudden those guys have easier looks, better looks at the basket if more attention is being paid to Lowry and DeRozan. Right now, the Heat's defense, again, is sort of just sitting back, patrolling the paint and allowing the Raptors to shoot. So I really do think in order to win this series, as much as Valanciunas bailed them out in the first few games, as much as those complimentary players have been bailing them out, Lowry and DeRozan have to perform here. This is a time of year where your best players have to be your best players. We saw it with Indiana. Paul George nearly carried them to a first-round victory past the Raptors. Now Dwayne Wade, even at 34 years old, has turned back the clock and is carrying the Heat. Lowry and DeRozan have to do the same. There's no question about it.
Josh Lewenberg joins us. Josh, Terrence Ross is just, you know, his turnovers to me have just been glaring. Is he ever, you know, is this the best player you're going to see from Terrence Ross? Or is just he always going to be the one who shows you glimpses, teases you, but then ultimately struggles with inconsistency?
That's the million-dollar question, guys. And for the Raptors, it's actually the $11 million question or $33 million question. I mean, he's a frustrating player in the sense that he's got a lot of ability. If he didn't, it would be very easy to just write him off and say he is what he is. But he has a skill set that is very valuable in today's NBA at his position, being able to defend when he's focused and being able to knock down jump shots. That's something that a lot of teams really covet. And that's why I do think even after another up-and-down season for him, the Raptors were right to extend him when they did, because we fast forward now to the offseason when the salary cap goes up. There's not a lot of great free agents out there outside of Kevin Durant, and there's going to be a lot of teams that have a boatload of money. Players like Terrence Ross in the summer are going to be getting $13, $14 million instead of $11. I think Masai Ujiri has some options now going forward. Especially at that position. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan is the big free agent there, but Norman Powell has really emerged. He's come on over the last couple months, and he's making peanuts compared to Terrence Ross. He's going to be making less than $1 million next year. He's locked up for 2 years. He's making a combined, I think, $1.8 million over the next 2 years. He's a cheaper and maybe even a better version of Terrence Ross at that position. So maybe that does allow you to go out, test the trade market on a player like Ross in the off season. But I do think there's a trade market because, again, he's still relatively young and he has shown flashes. He's been surprisingly big in this series.
Josh, it's interesting. You mentioned Dwayne Wade, and some people have had him on the way out to pasture for a couple of seasons now. Those old knees of his. Has there been a better player in the series, though, so far?
No, it's not even close. He's been the best player on the floor for both teams, and who would have thought that that would be the narrative going into this one? I mean, that was the storyline in the first round, where the Raptors really just had to deal with Paul George shutting him down. The Pacers had a one-dimensional offense, living or dying with George. The Heat were supposed to be deeper. They were supposed to spread it around offensively, but those other guys haven't really shown up. Dragic, outside of a big first game, has been quiet. Luol Deng, Joe Johnson hasn't been that player that burned Joe Johnson in the Nets series a couple years ago, burned the Raptors a couple of years ago. So it's been on the 34-year-old who, as I said, has sort of turned back the clock here. I mean, he knows how to win, and that's a big thing at this time of year. And that's been the difference between the Heat and the Raptors at through four games here in the series. If you look at the two Heat wins in game 1 and 4, it was Wade who came up huge for them. In the last few minutes of regulation in overtime, he's the one that's making winning plays on both ends of the floor. You mentioned the Terrence Ross turnovers. Who's there on the other end to pick the ball up? It's Dwayne Wade. So I think that's just a credit to the way that he's sort of aged gracefully. He's adapted his game to the fact that he can't play above the rim anymore. He's still so crafty, so good at scoring around the basket, and he's incredibly opportunistic defensively. So that's the challenge right now for the Raptors, who, yeah, I mean, they're supposed to be in a much better position, in a much better place than they were 2 years ago facing that experienced Brooklyn team, but they still have a lot less experience, a lot less playoff know-how than the Miami Heat, and that's the hurdle that they're trying to overcome.
Well, Josh, pivotal game 5 tonight, and could we see the fourth overtime in a series? Any idea what's the NBA record for most overtimes in a playoff series?
The record is 4, so okay. We could see it tonight.
All right, man. Appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks.